Okay. Very good morning to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 4th, is it?
Yes.
4th of June, 2016. Oh, Sri Anse Agong's birthday. So we are indeed very fortunate, because through the generosity of Sister Ying Lian and Brother Ku and family, we were invited to their house dana, our monthly house dana. So what we will do is we will start the dana officially at 12. Means we got 12 more minutes to go. We will start off with a simple puja. Then we will have our chanting. Then after that, you can make the offering together. The food are at the back, isn't it? Oh, front. Okay. Yeah, don't worry. The puja one is here. So we try not to pass around too much, otherwise take too long. So we can do it together on the whole of the offering table. So as usual, we should all develop the joy, the happy heart. And with understanding, we shall together develop all the wholesomeness, the blessing. Then we rejoice with the generosity, sincerity, and wholesomeness of Sister Ying Lian, Brother Ku, and family. We should thank them for inviting us over, and all other Kayamita who has helped out in one way or other to make this house dana a very successful one. Then we look forward to all the good food that is always available during house dana. So after the puja, then the offering, then you can have your food. Then how long you need to take your food, I don't know. Maybe by 1:15, we can start our dhamma sharing. Is it okay? 1:15, you got about an hour to eat. Should be more than enough. Then today, as you all can feel, it's a very nice home. Simple but very nice. I can feel very good. And this place is very good. And before I came in, Brother Ku showed me, say, 7 houses, all the fencing, no more there. Because they are brothers and sisters. They stay together, and there's a lot of harmony and understanding. That's why for community to flourish, you must have goodness, virtue, wholesomeness. You must be sincere, generous, then loving. Otherwise, not easy to have harmony in this world. Even relationship is difficult to establish if you don't have Dhamma. Oh yeah, somebody bring food. Oh, your sister comes, Sadhu. Yeah, rejoice. Finally, I hope all Kayamita one day will come to realize one very important fact about the teaching. The teaching is not about something extraordinary or magical. The simple teaching is the Dhamma, the teaching is really very simple. End of the day is about virtue, goodness, kindness. When you have a good mind, a good heart with wisdom and understanding, you will have Dhamma. If you are incapable of kindness, goodness, virtue and understanding, you don't have the Dhamma. When you think you already progress or enlightened, you have to check if your ego is small, your views and opinion are still strong, if you don't have joy, happiness, inner peace and inner awareness, if you don't have virtue, you are far from enlightenment that the Buddha is talking about. Always remember that. When you still think a lot and have a lot of views and opinion of things, when you are still very, what they call, attached to what you believe in. They say in Cantonese, zap chok. What is the English word? Picky. I think not that word. Zap chok is what? Stubborn is one aspect. Stubborn is a more fierce word, more strong. A milder word is what? Own's opinion and view. Self-opinionated. Means you are not open in your mind. You don't have an open mind to accept people for what they are, to receive truth, because you got your own views and opinion of things. Like Brother Tay say, you are very opinionated. So that will prevent you from receiving truth or understanding things. So maybe when we have condition, we will speak a bit more about this. Because ultimately, Dhamma is virtue. Without virtue, you don't have Dhamma. And virtue is just the sincere mind having goodness, kindness, generosity, contentment, respect, all of the good values of a kind person, a sincere person, a wise person. If you cannot have that, you don't have Dhamma. So views and opinion are duality created by thought. They are sankara. Sankara anicang, sankara lead to suffering, dukkang. So do not allow sankara to build up all this, what they call cobwebs and barrier to your direction, to your ability to receive truth. Why must you be concerned with right and wrong? Why can't you just listen attentively? Whatever that can benefit you, whatever that can bring forth the training and the way, use it. The rest, don't have to be like concerned with it. Because these are other people's way, other people's approach to meditation. We respect them for what they are. We have an open mind. They are free to do and express what they believe is true. But for you, like the Buddha said to the Kalamas, investigate into it. If it stands up to investigation, use it. If it doesn't stand up to investigation, have an open mind. Let things be. Then, if it benefits you, if it's beneficial, use it to cultivate. If it's not beneficial, just let it be. Then check it. If after you listen to the advice, if you have to put it in your practice, the Buddha said, check. Does it harm you? Does it harm others? If it doesn't harm you and harm others, well, use it. If it happened to be the truth, it will benefit you. But if it harm you, forget about it. So whatever you listen, even it can be from a very famous religious person, or sometimes they even say, Brother Teo's teacher, you have to be careful, because this is authority. Or you think I'm very good, my teacher must be much, much better. No, they have their way. They have their cultivation. They will share with you what they think. So when you listen attentively, you ask yourself, because one of the Kayamita asked me on the way back from Melbourne, they say, Brother Teo, how come like that? She speak so different. Because she is what she is, her way is like that. That's why I told you all, the last 20 over years, I got no news and I don't know what happened. Then my trip there is very simple. I just want to pay my respect and express my gratitude for what I have benefited during the early days. But it is not what she believed in. I benefited from one aspect of things that she has. Her energy was very strong at that time. But when it comes to the teaching, it's different. I evolved my own. She has her way. Then she told me about the things she heard that make them like confused. they don't know who to believe now. The second last master said like that, brother, do you share with us like that? So I asked them a very simple question, Kalama Sutta. After you listen, if you have doubt, what happened? Your faith is weakened, make you confused. You have the hindrance of mind. Does that harm you? Then if you were to speak all this through your doubt and create more confusion, does it harm others? If it harm you and harm others, forget about it. Let things be. Respect them for what they are. Their way like that. They express things like that. But make use of what is useful, applicable to you to continue your cultivation. Then there is no more right and wrong. And what I want to remind you is, you remember 2004 when I started, I told Yun Chan, I set 3 conditions for this thing in order for me to agree, my nature to agree to come out to share. I foresee all this happening. That's why the first thing I say is not a Dhamma talk. Dhamma talk means what? Speaker talk to the audience. Means authority upon you, understand not? We have one way traffic. Whatever I say, you cannot even argue back, or maybe during Q&A you can ask, but you don't have enough time to clarify. Then like Krishnamurti say, truth must have no authority. Authority means what? It put fear upon you. It put burden upon you, because as a teacher you have respect and gratitude. But then it doesn't mean you have to believe what they say. Like the Buddha said, you don't even have to believe what he said. Put it into investigation. That's why I said Dhamma discussion, sharing. We are here to share our Dhamma understanding. No right, no wrong. And that is the second condition. So first condition is very simple. No authority means I am not technically your teacher or your master. I am just your Dhamma friend. Understand that? Dhamma friend means what? Friends that walk the path of Dhamma. We respect each other for what we are and we share our understanding. Then the main thing is no right, no wrong. That will remove all the unnecessary duality created by thought. That will remove all the unnecessary misunderstanding and argument. Because right and wrong is like method and technique, never define the meditation. It brings about more confusion. It brings about more fear and doubt. And the one thing to be right is the ego. But these are not the essential Dhamma. Why do you want to hold on to all this? Why can't you go back to the teaching? The essential teaching I talked about two days ago, last Thursday class, are more important. The Buddha said, Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, and the heedless are as if they... So when you understand this, this is fundamental to cultivation. Whatever I do, I must train my mind to have heedfulness. To be heedful, I must be aware. Then I must have that stability or awareness in daily life to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Then I become heedful. And the heedful never die. So this is key. In order to be heedful, the Buddha said, you must understand you need the spiritual faculties. Without spiritual faculty, you cannot be heedful. Because the mental hindrance will take over and you will become heedless. So heedfulness is key. Spiritual faculty is key. So you focus on that and cultivate. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Then you don't have to worry about brother Teo's teacher say what, that teacher say what, that master say what, that method, that technique, that meditation. These are all not important, irrelevant. So I summarize again. First, no authority means we are just Dhamma friend. We have Dhamma discussion, to share understanding. Then second condition, no right, no wrong. If you stick on to this principle, you will be blessed. You will find truth. You will avoid a lot of unnecessary argument and conflict. Then the third one is very simple. Have an open mind. Use whatever that is conducive and relevant for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. Then just move. Then life becomes beautiful. Then there is a lot of harmony, a lot of respect, a lot of understanding. So these are the important things that you need to develop clear understanding so that it will prevent you from falling into the duality created by thought. The various type of opinion, views, and all those things like Brother Tay mentioned, chapcho, means opinionated. So it so happened there is condition to clarify because so many people ask me, I don't know why, when I was in the car with Jin Hao, they also asked me. Then earlier on also, I think PG, someone suggested on the mic, we should discuss our Australia trip, spiritual trip. I say, very good, nice, wise idea, good idea. So all these are meant to be, because if it didn't happen, you all cannot be tested. But I can see that here, I can feel a lot of them are like shaken. That's why when my wife talked to me, I told her, I said, in Hokkien, just listen, forget about it. So last night I was telling Hua, there was another person with me last night. Who was it? Who was it? Last night? PG, I think. Oh, Thursday night. Not Thursday night. I think last night. Who was it? God, there's somebody. But I say I must add in something. 听完了,没事了. Last time is because 做完了,没事了. Now, 听完了,没事了. This is something that you want out of it. You understand not? A lot of things people say, 听了后, understand not? Don't get involved. Well, if it lead to gossip and right and wrong, these are not the essential Dhamma. Even they can have great authority, very famous, so what? It doesn't lead to harmony. It doesn't lead to the truth. It is just somebody expressing their way of cultivation. So don't have to get yourself involved. Otherwise, you get into big problem. You know why? You cannot decide. On the one side, you respect me, Brother Teo. On the other side, Brother Teo, second last teacher, no? Oh, you lucky girl. You say, cannot be wrong. Wow. She last time, what? Wow. Oh, I never say that. I share with you, I say, according to her, she said, she's an honest thing. So, things are very different now. Even many things that she shared with us last time, you asked my wife, she told me no more relevant now, and now new thing. So she is what she is. We respect her for what she is. And I really sincere with gratitude because 20 over years ago, I benefited from her energy. And like I told Jin Hao just now on the car, I got many teachers that, you know, all the teachers are also different. Xianhua, Master Xianhua, Mahayana tradition. She teach from the Mahayana. He also have his problem during the early day when in Hong Kong, he was attacked by people who tried to poison him and kill him because of envy, jealousy. He also have his vow. Every life he come, he must have psychic, spiritual penetration, the sixth type. Then later on, I remember he took it out from his vow. And because he did that, he got all these things. Then he liked to help people last time to overcome their problem, their suffering, which is karmic related. So there are some of these non-humans, when they cannot get their revenge, they will have deep unhappiness, hatred, and dissatisfaction. Then what they do is they vow to take revenge. So on land, Master Shen Hong was very powerful when he was young. They cannot do anything to him. But later on, when he decided to go over to the United States, halfway in the ocean, you go and read his biography. He mentioned he was attacked and he almost died. Then at the last minute, he invoked the affinity with Kuan Yin. And Kuan Yin really manifests through the nature to help him, and he arrived safely. Then he has his Mahayana way of cultivation and all things. What I benefited from him during the early year was because when I was in the university, I met him second year. Then when I graduate again, I met him, but I don't understand what he really teach or is until I graduated many years later. Then condition arise, he came again. So that time I decide, whatever I miss out that I haven't done, I'll do it together. So I make offering, I listen to the talk. Then the early stage I benefited was because one book, he translated the Surangama Sutta, chapter 1. I was working that time, I remember, and suddenly one person who happened to be his kapya came to my office, and he was trying to do marketing for the father. Then the condition unfold, he saw the yellow string on my hand. He said, "Are you a Buddhist?" I said, "Yeah." Then he told me, "I got a book for you." So I thought normal Dhamma book. So I said, "Okay." I was so surprised when he passed me the book the next day. Photostat copy, Surangama Sutta, chapter 1. I opened up that book. I don't even know what is Surangama Sutta, because first time, Theravada based. The moment I read that book, I find it so interesting. I understand a lot of things that is written there. I say got such sutta. That's how I actually determined to actually develop the cultivation, and I vowed to see him if he were to come. Then, 1 or 2 months later, condition arise. He is coming with a whole delegation. That's why I went and recorded the talk. Then I went and take refuge with my whole family. That's how it started. But then, he is here. I really met him in person only a few times. I don't have personal interaction with him. And I learned through listening to him, his talk, and read his book. That's it. But what he teach is different. Yeah. So doesn't mean I say he is my teacher. It means what he know is what I know. No, not like that. So these are the conditions. Then later on, Acharyantra, same. He was very good. I benefited from his sharing because of the few things that he has. His energy was very strong, his loving kindness, his metta all very strong. Then his dhamma also quite good. Then those words of wisdom that he expressed, I can use it for my cultivation. That's why I benefited a lot. That's why later on when the scandal came out in Thailand about him, I told people, I got no doubt in what I received from him. Then later on, I met another monk who told me it was his karma. He confined to them. But he was very happy because he's in the States, everything cleared. He lie low. So these are the conditions behind. Then later on, I met this second last teacher. She teach different. That time actually, I more or less already have the Dhamma. But the energy benefited me very much because it was so different. Soothing came in from the center. Then I already know how to relax, silent, because my mindfulness was very strong from my past. That's why I benefited from that. But Dhamma-wise, I don't really learn much from her. Yeah. So that was the condition. Then she has her way. Yeah. That's why she knew I would not follow her. That's why 20 over years we separated. Then my last teacher, actually, I don't need to see already. But because of my vow, I have to see him because 6 or 7 times the condition arise. So after I met him, then I realized why. Because he showed me the gateway, that's it. And he never teach me anything else except introducing Krishnamurti teaching to me. That's why all these teachers are very different. They got their own way, but they got their own problem. I realized, like my second last teacher, how come last 25 years it cannot grow, it cannot flourish, it cannot come out? And according to her, for many years, she was attacked by Mara, very severe attack by Mara, almost died many times. So that's why you can recall, I always tell you all not to touch psychic, not to touch energy field. You can experience it, but don't go into it. Otherwise, it can bring about consequence that you may not like. Yeah. So these are the things that you can learn. So always remember, no authority. Don't allow yourself to be subject to authority. It means no pressure. Don't even say, because Brother Theo have taught me so many things, whatever I say, you must follow me. No, forget about it. Investigate into it, like what the Buddha said. Okay? So if I say that, means whatever my teacher, if you meet and hear, also do the same. Investigate. Then apply the three conditions. No authority means their words will not put pressure on you. You just listen like any other truth. If it's the truth, it stand up to investigation. If it's the essential Dhamma, use it, cultivate. No right, no wrong, then move on. And then there is harmony, there is peace. As I told these two Kayamita on the plane, I said, before we came, we were so full of harmony, joy, spiritual faculty, everything. All look forward to meet my second last teacher. Why after meeting her and hearing that thing, you all become freaked out? Just like the last teacher also same, that group also same. But that group, their karma not so good. They don't have such condition because nobody really talk to me. Nobody really come and seek clarification or explanation. But at least these two came. And they were very direct and very serious. But two, I got very strong doubt. Well, actually three. The first one was Song. Song in Melbourne already asked me. Then I explained to her. Then later on these two. Then later on, those who didn't go also want to know. That's why I say you don't keep everything to yourself. If you're not sure, ask. Then if there is condition, I can clarify. Then you can develop the understanding. Okay, good enough. We can start the puja. Oh. So this is what I want to deliver before I forget. That's why there is condition. I hope it's recorded. So you all listen, then it will clarify all your doubt. Okay? So we can start our puja now. Okay? You can rejoice if you want to. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Let us get the host. England and Brother Ku and your family member. You can start off by lighting the incense and candles. Then we all line up as usual, to have a simple puja. England, Brother Ku. Your children also can light together. Off the fan for a while, maybe. Otherwise, the candle will get blown out. See, you must ask somebody who is familiar. You ask the one not familiar, they will try this, try that. Like meditation. You ask the wrong one, they teach you something else. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, the next one. Now, England, England, you like? Then your other children also can like. What happened? Oh, your leg cramped. Your daughter first, then. It means got condition for her to like first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now the mom. Too excited. Until leg also cramped. Sadhu. Most important is to have joy. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. There is one more. Brother Ku, you can like the last one. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we can start off with the offering of the tray. You have a tray for the three things, clear water, candle, and the incense. That whole tray, make offering to the Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and the Sri Pujam. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then pass it around. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Continue with the other offering. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Never mind, pass to the back. Brother Tiong, they all continue. Sadhu, sadhu. You all can stand opposite each other, for those who are clamoring. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You spread out and stand opposite each other. Come forward here. Ingbi, come forward. Mimi here. You can stand here. Then you all stand nearer here. Then that side, form one circle. Form one circle. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Never mind, you can stand here. Nancy, you stand here. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. You can be seated. Then maybe together we shall offer all the food outside too. Outside. Open the door on the fan. Then I think some of you go out. I don't know how long my wire is. Oh, take the toilet. Not working. Never mind. It's okay. Some of you go out. Together we shall rejoice. We will do the offering together. Then you all can tap them from the back if you want to. Oh, never mind. Just no need to tap. We just rejoice of you. Touch the table. Help to touch the table. Okay, together we offer. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. One more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. One more time we offer. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you. Come in. So all these offerings are very wholesome because it allows us to rejoice with all the all the generosity of all those people who make possible this offering, then also their sincerity, their faith, and all those who have made all this possible. Okay, so with this we will start our chanting, then you can have your meal. Come in and close the door. Okay, the Buddha Rupang is there, but you don't worry. Whichever direction you are facing, because the Buddha nature is everywhere. Triple Gem is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. So if you can develop the faith, sadha, compose your mind, then with the virya, determine to mindfully cultivate this puja leading to the spiritual faculties. Okay. Okay. All ready? We will pay respect to Buddha and all the worthy ones. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Then you bow. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Wow. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Wow. Then we will chant the salutation. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Buddhang saranang gacchami Dhammang saranang gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adina Dana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Usavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramiraya Majjhapamadatthana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Okay, we are now chanting the Padipa Puja offering of light. So those who need the chanting book, you can get a copy. There are still some more copy here. Anybody who need? Everybody has, huh? Okay, we start. Ganna sarappa dipena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang ganna sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kusuma santatin Yami munindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujaimi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena matena cha hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasa bawang Adivase tunobante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigang hatu mutemang Adivase tunobante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigang hatu mutemang Adivase tunobante Bojana parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, we will make aspiration based on our understanding of all the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma, that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Overall aspiration. By the power of this merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep in respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay. Thank you so much. You can have your dana now. So maybe we try to make it by 1:15. If you need more time, you let me know. We got 45 minutes. Okay. Since most of us are already ready, I think we can start our Dhamma session. So once again, on behalf of all Kanyamitas, we would like to thank Sister Eng Lien, Brother Ku, and family for inviting us over to this wholesome house dana today, which is 4th June 2016, a Saturday. I'm sure we have all really had a good meal. The lunch was good. Klang as usual, famous for bak kut teh. Yeah, you got very good bak kut teh. Both the wet and the dry. The dry one I like because yuhu. The yuhu was very nicely done and very well made. Then, of course, the usual Kayanamita's favorite dish, they are all there. And this time around, you got very good mango custard. But don't, because I say that, you think I like mango custard. Actually, I don't really fancy custard, but they are very soft. But my wife like. So whatever it is, I rejoice. Thank you so much. Sadhu. Sadhu. Then also for all those who have helped out to make offering, to enable this house dana to be a success. Those who have helped England and the husband, Sister Ko. And I remember the daughter, she came for the class too. I remember. Now I remember why she is so familiar, the face. At first I couldn't recall. I thought your daughter. Then when she was feeding the niece or what, then I look again. Hey, I remember this girl came to me before in the Thursday class, Ingby's house. The first time was Ingby's house. Ingby's house when he decided to invite us to the Thursday class at her house. That I remember she was the one at that time. So I rejoice with her wholesomeness too. And now she is much more different, more confident. At that time I saw her, she got problem. she you can see from the expression she was having problem. Though not serious, but you can see not happy. Something bothering her. So now she is so different. The other one was Sister Kong. Those who from clan, you will know. She recovered so much. When we were at the Thursday class, we already said she recovered so much. Well, now I saw her recovered from that time, even at Thursday class, some more. And she was so beautiful because she told me, "Brother, I don't know why is it my joint, all those things start to loosen up and I can walk now." Then the hand also cannot move. The joint also loosen up, huh? Can move like normal. Then I saw her now like very independent, can on her own walk like normal. At her age, not easy, 80 plus. Then also, last time, Sister Jean used to help her, bring her to the class, because that time she really need people to help, and her vision not good. So these are what you can see through Dhamma, through faith, through confidence, through understanding. She still, at this age, with this type of body, have the joy, the happiness, because the faith drives her. The faith, sadha, bring forth the virya. Then through her diligence, she developed the meditation, developed the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. Then the incident when she fell in the drain connected her back to her nature. Then she said, "Kuan Yin helped her a lot. That's why you must have faith in these great beings." Then she said, "Very strange." After that, recently, he said he met a lot of monks and Rinpoche and all those things. And each and every one of these, she recalled, give her the Buddha image, Buddha Rupang. Then she even told me her younger day, how her affinity with the Kuan Yin and all those things. She also convent school, a Christian missionary school. And yet she became so beautiful. So it's not your background. It's your faith. It's your understanding of life. Then when you have faith and sincerity, your mind becomes beautiful. Then like she said, a lot of things just go her way. Normally at this age, you don't have the Dhamma. What will happen to you? Yeah. You will have to confront old age, sickness, and pending death. And how will you feel? Especially this form, it goes the way of nature. Instead of improving during the wear and tear, it will slowly deteriorate, and sometimes very fast too. But in her case, because of the Dhamma and the connection and the joy, she actually had a great blessing to actually feel better. And the improvement keep on happening because of her faith, her joy. So this is a living example of how you can improve your life, how you can improve your health, how you can actually develop the condition to cultivate. Like she said last time when she was having all this, she can't cultivate. But now she got the condition. She is more diligent and she is doing it just because she sees the importance of cultivating this Buddha Dhamma. So 80 plus Kayamita lady having this mind and understanding will put a lot of us to shame, understand, if you don't treasure what condition you have. People like her can still develop the cultivation. So don't always excuse yourself by giving the reason or justify that I should have done it when I was young. Now too late. Never too late. Sister Kong, 80 plus, still do it so well. So have faith. That faith will bring forth the sincerity to cultivate. That sincerity bring forth the way. That's why faith, sincerity, and perseverance. These are the three things you need to pave the way and to develop that wholesomeness. Then Dhamma become beautiful. Okay. So this is the first part that I want to share, because this is what I observe, what I can see. That is a good sharing, because she is a living example. Those who know her will know how was her condition a few years before this. Then the other part about the Dhamma, which I want to share, is the cultivation part. Cultivation, as you know, is based on the essential Dhamma of the Buddha. And the most important essential Dhamma is, of course, the Four Noble Truths. From the Four Noble Truths, you will understand all of the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then this Four Noble Truths also explain to us the essence of the Buddha's teaching. All of life, whether mundane or supramundane, they are all within this Four Noble Truths. That's why when you understand the Four Noble Truths, it's like you can understand the secret of life. You know how to live. The secret of life is to understand all the laws, the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then you will know how to live life. So essentially, we need to study and develop the understanding of this Four Noble Truths. These are noble truths that can let you realize the noble teaching, awaken your mind, liberate your mind, bring about transformation, bring about great understanding, right view with regards to nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the spiritual law, which is the law of karma. From that law, the teaching starts. That's how the advice of the Buddha comes about. Avoiding all evil to good, purify the mind. And this is basically the meditation, the cultivation. How do you avoid all evil? The Buddha said, keep your precepts. So keeping precept is the first thing that you have to do. And how do we keep precepts? We must see the significance of precepts, the importance of keeping this precept. Otherwise, you will fall. If you don't keep the precept, means you become evil. Because if you look at the precepts as we have gone through, who are the people who violate this precept? Who are the people who get into trouble after breaking all these precepts? They are evil people, selfish people, deluded people, who has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why the Buddha said, out of love and compassion for living being, he said, you have to keep your precept. It's not something forced upon you. It's out of love and compassion for your karmic nature. You have to keep your precept to avoid all evil. But avoiding all evil need mindfulness. That's why you need to train your mind to have this spiritual faculty of mindfulness. You need to be mindful, leading to heedfulness, to see your mental intention behind all of your actions, speech, and thought process. Then you have to constantly arise the four right effort to purify your thought, to abandon the unwholesome thought, speech, and action, and livelihood behind. Then the right effort to prevent all these unwholesome actions, speech, and thought process from arising. Then the right effort to cultivate the wholesome thought, right speech, right action. Then final right effort is to refine upon all this right thought, right speech, right action that you have already started to develop or cultivate. Then to perfect them. So if you do that, this is an ongoing process where you can help yourself to transform your own character, personality, so that you are incapable of evil, so that you are more and more virtuous, wholesome. That's why the whole of meditation finally will lead to virtue. When you are not able to have virtue, means your cultivation has gone astray. When you don't have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and constantly arising the four right effort, you are not doing the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You have debated. Your focus is maybe on right and wrong, method, technique, teacher, and all those things. You chase after all these things, sometimes religious labor, thinking that you are with the right religion, all this got no meaning because it doesn't improve your life. It doesn't understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. It doesn't bring about the improvement in your karmic nature. So cultivation is very simple when you understand all this essential Dhamma and focus on just avoiding evil, doing good or developing virtue. But virtue has problem because not everybody can develop virtue. That's why the teaching is avoid all evil, do good and purify your mind. If you don't purify your mind, which is the final advice of the Buddha to develop wisdom or straighten your view, to develop the right understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence, and understand what constitutes virtue, you cannot cultivate virtue. Your virtue cannot be cultivated. Virtue needs to be understood. When you have the understanding, you will become virtuous automatically. That's why purification of mind is very important. That's why the sixth power factor of the right effort is sati, right mindfulness. That's why you have to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. Mindfulness in daily life. Then stabilizing sati to become samadhi. Then sitting as they are to insight into the characteristics of nature, impermanent, leading to suffering. An understanding of anatta or non-self or empty nature existence. So these are all the dhamma which each and every one of you understand. But because you are not clear, that's why you cannot focus on the cultivation. It's only when you have this insight, awakening. That's why vipassana is to insight into this universal characteristic. So it's not a method or a technique. Or a cultivation where you can cultivate vipassana or you can practice vipassana. Vipassana cannot be practiced. You can develop the cultivation to insight into the characteristics of nature. When you insight, you awaken. But it's not a practice, it's not a cultivation. Practice is thought, cultivation is doing something. But when you cultivate, it's the spiritual faculty that you cultivate. That's why you keep your precept through having the understanding of what constitutes evil, then develop your mind, train your mind to be mindful, to see clearly the mental intention behind all of your action, speech and thought process. Because you understand what constitutes evil, when you are mindful that the evil roots are there, the greed, hatred, and delusion, and all its various manifestations are there, then you know these are root of all evil. Evil roots make you evil, makes you fall. Then you will know how to avoid them. Then you will know how to root them all. The five ways that the Buddha teach. Then you cultivate them, especially the third and fourth way. You just relax, silent, and just aware. Whatever that arise, the evil root, they are conditioned arising state. Your greed, your envy, your jealousy, your craving, your lust, your covetousness, your so-called negative emotion, leading to fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity. Even sorrow and lamentation, these are all negative tendencies, part of the evil roots, root of all evil. So when you start to see them, you realize, if I allow them to stay in my heart, I become evil. It's the three poison, it will kill me spiritually. So my life, I have to decide, because I hold the key to my own life destiny. To be happy or to be miserable is my choice. So I have to choose wisely, I have to determine through right effort to abandon all this or prevent them from arising when I have the mindfulness. Then I vow not to repeat all this. That's why after you avoid all evil, you have to ask for repentance, forgiveness, then vow not to repeat all this, then cultivate virtue. Virtue are right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. What are virtue? Like the three evil roots. You must know the opposite three wholesome roots. What are the three opposite wholesome roots? Yeah? First one is what? No. the three evil roots first. You add in the word non. Non-greed, non-hatred, non-delusion. And then only you have the breakdown like Ng Bee said, generosity. Generosity got no greed, hatred, and delusion in it. A generous person is not selfish, is it? True or not? So that's why all these are virtue. So you must come to understand that the absence of evil is good. That's why the Buddha said, cultivate non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. You don't go and practice virtue. You don't go and practice to be good, or try to be good. Well, that one is a conditioned good. Good according to who? To you. Your views and your opinion of things. That's why a lot of people in conflict, they will tell me during the early day, now less already. How come I did all these things for my children? Good for them. And yet, they don't listen to me. And yet, my karma no good. I say, your problem is you think this is good. You say good for them. Why did you say that? Because according to your views and opinion, this is good for them. But if you put yourself in your children's shoe, what you force them to study and do is not good for them. They may not like what you want them to do. But they are lying, let them decide. So good for them, according to you, is something different. And if you are not careful, this got coming. You force your children to study the thing that he don't like to study and do things that they don't like to do. You know what will happen to your karma? You reap what you sow. Then what happened? In future, you will have parents who will do the same thing to you. Hey boy, this one cannot, that one cannot. You must study this, you must study that, you must not study all this. Or then you say, how come my parents like that one? So fun, one. Last time you did to your children, you never knew, you never complained, you never admit that this is very fun to them. That's why to have good parents who understand you, who can provide you with all those things that you can have in life to give you a good head start. You need to have good karma, good parami. You must be good, responsible parents, people. So when you understand this, you know what is it like to have virtue. Means I must have the right understanding. I must love my children in the correct way. Not to pamper them, not to force them to do things that they don't like. I have to respect them for what they are. As parent, I have duty. Duty means what? Responsibility in accordance with nature's law. Not the duty created by mankind or society. No. Yeah, a lot of people will argue, you know. Because as parents, they say, everything that you have, even your education, your food and shelter, all provided by me, you know. You owe me, you know. And there was a parent, my classmate, my son's classmate, he said, the father recorded all this, you know. He said, expect you to pay me back when you grow up and come out to work. He go and record every dollar and cents that the son spent on education and all those things. He said, these are the bills you owe me. And I haven't added in the interest, he said. So you have such parents. You in the past are very calculative. You did this to people. Then karma hit back, you will receive the same. So what I try to arrive at is, cultivation is very simple when you understand it. Avoiding evil is, you have to have mindfulness and understand what are the evil roots, the essential dhamma, what constitute evil. Then mindful of them, then you will know how to abandon them, prevent them from arising. Then only the second step, you cultivate the opposite, non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. That's why virtue come in. And for you to have virtue, like the essential dhamma, you also have to understand what constitutes right thought, what constitutes wrong thought. Remember what I share with you? You have to reflect on it. Not just repeat what I say, but you say like that, but you never put it into practice. Or cultivation in real life. What constitutes right thought? You never reflect, never contemplate. So how can you put it into practice or cultivation in daily life? Although this is still thought-based initially. Yeah. That's why you need right effort, which constantly arise the gentle and pleasant speeches, gentle, pleasant, and kind speeches that can lead to harmony, understanding, and love, non-negativity. You don't arise the four unwholesome speech. What are they? Yeah? First one is harsh, angry, and authoritative speech. That's why you have to avoid. Speak harshly, angrily, with a lot of authority and emotion. Those are the speech that are not conducive. It is spoken out of anger, hatred. So harsh speech you have to avoid. Then second one is backbiting. You say bad thing against people behind their back. Your intention is evil. You want to create disharmony, misunderstanding. To you think it's fun. To you think this guy deserves it, that's why you go and backbite. That's sometimes because you're selfish. You got evil motive, especially when you are interested in the same boy. Then you can tell this girl, hey, backbite, is it? That boy, he actually not faithful, not sincere. He do this, do that, so that you will give up on him. Then she go and tackle him. So you got this selfish intention, that's why you backbite. You know what he are, you a lot of what I heard from the sister, direct from the horse mouth, all this he will tell you. That's why selfishness, insincerity will create all this wrong speech. Then the third one is when you lie. Lie means what? You want to conceal a truth. Why do you do that? Because you're scared people come to know. The advantage is gone. Or when people come to know, they will hate you. They will become very angry with you because you preach the trust that you have given to them. Especially spouse. They come back and lie. No lah, I didn't go out and do all those things. I didn't fool around. My friend called me. My classmate, we were having what they call normal catch up gathering, update each other. But actually, you lie. Then your spouse are not stupid, you know. They are housewife. Your shirt go back. They will check, got lipstick or not. Got all those what they call perfume or not. That perfume they never used before. Or you got a lot. Then, especially cigarette. Those who smoke cigarette, straight away your wife will know and go back. Straight away he know already. Where have you been? You lie, you finish. You are dead. So there are many things. But these are mundane. Why do you want to create such problem that lead to disharmony and problem? So these are the things that will allow you to understand that precepts are very important. You don't have to lie, you don't have to cheat, you don't have to deceive. And the last one is frivolous talk. So that's why when you are able to arise the appropriate right speech, gentle, pleasant, and appropriate good speeches, born of love, born of sincerity to help people, when you express your thanks, your gratitude, you do it sincerely. You are not like those people who say, hey, thank you so much, after shake hands. Inside, no feeling. Wow, you very good. You are so helpful, but not sincere. So this type of speech are lacking in sincerity. But at least it's better than the wrong speech or good speech that meant to hurt. Sometimes they say the word got bone one, or good one, very sharp one. Then also right thought. What constitutes right thought? What constitutes wrong thought? So like what I share with you is a revision. What constitutes wrong thought? Thoughts that? What constitutes wrong thought? All the thoughts that condition your? So fast forgot. Then how to cultivate? All those thoughts that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, selfishness, emotional negativity, insecurity, and all the karmic negativity, they constitute wrong thought because they bring about suffering, misery, discontentment, argument, fear, worry, anxiety, doubt. These are wrong thoughts. Thoughts that bring about wholesomeness, thoughts that bring about peacefulness, blessing to all, these are right thoughts. Like you thought of loving kindness, you radiate love and metta to people. It brings about so much peace, so much positive energy feel. You wish people well-being and happiness. Then thought of generosity, thought of sincerity to help. Then the thought of gratitude, compassion, respect, sincerity, and all this right thought, wholesome thought. The faith will bring forth the sincerity to arise all the appropriate right thought. Then from right thought, you move on to right speech we have gone through. Then the right action, you have to act according to wisdom, understanding. No more acting according to memory, which is full of your evil roots of selfishness, emotional negativity, your fear, your insecurity, and all those things. Because memory is full of your past experience, good and bad, all accumulated. Your fear, your scars of memory, your phobia, your insecurity, they are all in your memory. Even your happy and unhappy moments. Whatever you go through in life, like you have been subject to child abuse, sexual harassment, people, the bullies, or those people who are not so friendly, haunting you, disturbing you, the lack of peace that arises when you see them. So all this memory will project and trigger fear, worry, anxiety, or recall the unpleasant scars of memory that make you unhappy, miserable, fearful, sorrowful, grief. So this will arise wrong thought. When you act according to memory, when you keep on attaching to what you have deposited into your memory through your attachment, then you start to understand how attachment come about. Attachment come about because you give meaning to that thing. You worry about it. You have fear, you have insecurity. That's why it's not resolved or accumulated through memory. And what is thought respond to memory. That's how all your evil roots come about. Your fear, your insecurity. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. But it doesn't mean you don't use memory. Memory are essential, important. So that you know your house, where you stay, your address, who are your spouse, who are your children, how you sign your checkbook. All this you have to use memory. You understand? Then to remember the essential dhamma, you need to use memory. But memory are for certain wholesome thing that you do, like the computer. That's why the computer is not emotional. You know why? Their memory are always in the memory bank. When you need only you access, they say they call it random access memory. When I need access, but they don't hold on to the memory. Human being different. They keep on holding. You know why they hold? They worry. They say, this is my problem now, brother. How can I not think? My financial problem, my health problem, my whatever problem. So, when you have this type of attachment, because unfinished business, you need to do something about it, then it will keep on coming back to haunt you. That's why thought it responds to memory, because you keep on holding to it. So, like this red hot thing that torments you, because it's your unfinished problem. So when you home is like it burn and torment you. So you keep on recalling the unhappy memory, the scars of memory, your fear, your worries. That's why you cannot arise right thought. So when you know this is happening, you don't act according to memory anymore. You act according to wisdom, understanding. How you act? You must have right view. Whenever you see something, you don't react according to memory and preempt the situation. So you are acting out of fear, out of insecurity, out of selfishness. That's why you preempt everything. But you have the Dhamma means what? You act according to Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation that leads to the end of all suffering. And Noble Eightfold Path is wisdom, understanding. When you have Noble Eightfold Path, you are incapable of negativity. That's why you check right view. When you see something, hear something, you check or recall something, you check. This is nature's law. Whatever that have happened, there are causes and conditions behind. And then, law of karma come in. Then you know you reap what you sow. So whatever you did to people will come back to you. So you accept the reality of that moment. Because these are the coming debt that I have to pay back. These are the conditions that I have to confront. So you don't blame anybody for what happened. Then when you are able to accept this reality, you are at peace. Means what? The mind does not project. The mind has clarity to see things as they are. Then you ask yourself, what can I do? What are my options? With that clarity, the non-attachment, you are at peace. Then you can act. Act according to right understanding. So the right view already explained to me there are past causes and conditions. So what must I do? What are my options to overcome all this? That's why I must introduce new conditions. I must arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action. That if I need to ask for forgiveness, apologize, or repentant, I do. That if I need to avoid all evil, I cultivate precepts. Then I have to determine not to arise all this negativity again so that my karmic nature will not fall. Then I determine to arise of all right effort to cultivate virtue, right thought, right speech, and right action. And that's how the Noble Eightfold Path falls into place. Then after that, I determine to purify my mind. So, right thought, right speech, right action, leading to the right livelihood and the four right effort, these are all the virtue part, understand? You cultivate goodness, virtue, but these are still thought-based. Then you cultivate the last advice, purify your mind to develop wisdom, to have right view with regards to who you are, what you are, and the nature's law that governs life and existence. Means not only law of karma, now you come to the law of the mind, how you function as a human being. How due to delusion, avijja, it conditions sankhara, which is mental activity. That's how your thinking arises. Because you don't have right view. You don't understand yourself. You don't know what is mind. What are the five aggregates of form and mind? You don't know who you are, what you are. That's why through sakadity, self-delusion, you grasp, you cling, you hold. And you act according to that. The Buddha say the final summary, in short, is due to your attachment to the five aggregate form of mind that he called dukkha or suffering. The upadana khandas, or the five grasping aggregate. That's why you have to liberate your mind. You have to silence, cultivate until you insight into the characteristics of me and realize that they are all not you. They are all impermanent, leading to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's empty, non-self. That's why anicchaṁ dukkhaṁ anattaṁ. So these are very powerful Dhamma. That's why we chant rūpaṁ anicchaṁ, rūpaṁ anattaṁ. Then for the other aggregate too, vedana, sanya, saṅkhara, vijñāna, they are also anicchaṁ anattaṁ. Then we summarize of sabbe saṅkhara dukkhaṁ. Sabbe saṅkhara anicchaṁ, then sabbe saṅkhara dukkhaṁ, then sabbe dhamma. Once you penetrate this through meditation, you understand that you straighten your view, then you are not deluded anymore. Without sakkāyadiṭṭhi, without self-delusion, the phenomena will become very clear. You are not deceived by it. That's why this form of mind cannot be deceived, cannot be deluded. Then it will not get entangled, it will not hold, it will not cling, because you understand this is not me. These are karmically conditioned form and mind, a vehicle and a tool for me to use to come to this world, to experience life, to cultivate, and to use it appropriately. then I just use it. Means you are not deluded by it anymore. So to use it, like this body, you don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick and dying. Like I share with Jin Hao Dio in the car just now while we are here. Because like the car, if it goes through wear and tear, one day it will have problem and break down. So don't lament over it, don't complain. Because these are the reality of life and existence. This body, like the car, will go through nature's law, subject to wear and tear. It will get old, get sick, and one day die, break down. So when it happens, you don't have to worry about the car having problem with it. Your worry is about the money that you need to spend. Or you fall in love with the car, especially new car. You know, you seem there, why people scratch my car? Is it my new car polished until so nice? Or you're now that guy, simply bang. Or you call your wife, why you never take care? You drive my car and you create such a severe damage. Then your car become your burden. Because of the attachment to that car, you can even go to the extent of scolding your wife and making yourself miserable. But the car is a car. The car doesn't know anything. But you become miserable over that car. That is stupidity. Like your body doesn't know anything. But you're going to worry about getting old, getting sick and die. The body say, what type of owner is this? If the body can talk, my teacher Ajayantra used to say, he said, oh master, I'm only tissue and cells. Understand? He said, get me work for you, for the good of yourself and the many, before this body of mine is too old, too weak, and too fragile to work for you. You see, your body can speak to you in such kind and loving manner. But the body is very confused when you go and worry about the body and become miserable over it. See, I already told you I'm only tissue and cell. Help me work for you means allow me to help you to live life, to understand life, to do the thing that you want to do before it is too old, too weak, too fragile to do anything for you. But instead, you go and worry about this fellow becoming scratched, not already the usual perfect. Just like some say, ayo, when I was young, I so handsome, I got so many girlfriends. Now I so old, I so useless. But when you got money, sugar daddy, still pretty young girl come after you, but they want wrong motive, you better be careful. So you want to become sugar daddy? You will get end up in all those problems. You will go in contact all those HIV and all those funny things. Because they are after your money, they are not after your love. So when you have understanding and wisdom, you will know what to do with your life. You will not indulge, you will not violate all this nature's law. So Dhamma is about understanding and developing the wisdom to act. So when you act with Noble Eightfold Path, means you act with understanding, wisdom. You no longer act with memory. You no longer allow what is being stored in your memory bank, which are mainly your scars of memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, and also your fear, your insecurity, your sorrow, your lament. All this, you use it to act. Means you are acting out of fear, acting out of greed, acting out of selfishness, acting out of your insecurity. That's why all this is the egoic mind, due to wrong view, sakkayadity, self-delusion, from the personality, the ego, the self you act. That's why you have all this fear, worry, anxiety, selfishness. And all this will condition wrong thought, evil, coming reaction. That's why you must act according to wisdom, understanding, Noble Eightfold Path. First, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. Then you are incapable of negativity. Then you know how to live. then the constant right effort to purify. Then you have to continuously purify your mind through right mindfulness, leading to samadhi, to sitting as they are, to insight into the characteristics of nature, the three universal characteristics. Then you are not deluded by the form of mind and the phenomenal world anymore. And then everything becomes the way it is, so beautiful. That is a tool and vehicle for you to use to live life. And this is what you need. Always remember, wisdom free, nothing else. Not all the fantastic meditation, psychic and all that thing. No, they don't help you. They bring about egoic mind. They become a problem to you when you attach and cling. But when you understand your mind liberates, you are not deluded by it because they all have these universal characteristics. They are conditioned, arising, dependent, originating. That's why impermanent. Depending on condition, it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases. When condition sustain, continue to arise, then it exists. So there is no reality. Everything is not a permanent and changing entity where you can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to and say, this is me. This is I, therefore all this can be mine. You cannot own anything. Like the Buddha said, even this body of yours is also not yours. You got no control when the time comes. Consciousness separate. This one goes the way of nature. You can't even keep your own physical form. How can you own anything? The entity is erased when the condition is no more. When your karmic force stops, like that day, the Thursday class, the current no more. The karmic force stops. Your heartbeat cannot beat. Then who are you? What are you? Your identity erased. They say you die. The register of death, death, birth and death, your name appear, disease. Then you lose your identity. Then everything you own is no more yours. You have a will, maybe they will follow the will and give you justice. You don't have your will. Your family member have to apply for letter of administration, they call LA, to execute your view for you. But no matter what they do, you don't own anymore because your identity has been erased. So don't be so foolish. Don't wait till when it's too late to do something for your loved one, for humanity, for mankind, to understand life, to live life. While you are here as a genuine human being or living being, you can develop this understanding and understand life so clearly that you can live life to the fullest and you can experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Then you can be a blessing to all. You are so beautiful. So Dhamma is very simple, very beautiful when you understand. Okay? With this, I will end my talk today's sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You got any question, you can ask. Almost 1 hour already. 2:20. Anybody got any question, you can ask. Today, you don't have the godless mind. You have to use mind. Sri Yang say it's not working. Anybody? Got anything to ask or maybe share? Yeah? You can also share if you want to. As usual. Okay, very quiet. Because conditions are there. I also don't want to push you. After you feel very uncomfortable. You already very comfortable here. But whatever you have in your heart that you want to clarify, you can, because these are the conditions available. I used to say, make full use of this form of mind before it's too late. This one lasts how long? I don't know. Whatever you want to know, you better ask. Whatever you can understand, you will share with you. Even some of you who have developed the cultivation quite far, you want to understand those things that are beyond, you can ask, no problem. Because I realize when conditioned no more, this nature, whatever you understand, it cannot be shared with the world because no condition. But when there is condition, it will manifest, then it will come out. Then if it's meant to be, it will surface. And the way it surfaces, beyond your wildest dream. So it can happen. Okay, well, I have a drink. You all think of your question or your sharing. Ah, yes. Ah, yeah. See, I'll help you all.
Brother Teo, maybe perhaps you can explain to us the similarities and differences between the Arahanta path and the Bodhisattva path.
Okay, this is a very good question. You see, for people who don't have the final understanding, they will think that there are two paths. You think you want to stop at arahantship. Who is the one that say that? Who is the one that say that? That so-called cultivator who decide. And the cultivator use? Understand? That's why there is a person who wants to stop at arahant. Finish. No more suffering. And they think they enlightened. Your arahant no need to come back according to the Buddha. But if you don't go through the whole cultivation, you cannot understand. That's why I say the traditional way, which is egoic. Because the thought come out and say, too long this path, take eons, and very few succeed. And this is the truth, it's not a lie or a myth. But all these are thought-based. The thought is telling you, putting fear in you, putting doubt in you. That's why you will make the determination, okay, arahan, I stop. But Srihan's question is better. What are the similarities? He just want to know the similarity. He's not going to decide whether arahant or what. Because at this level, the thought is still active. Similarity is the cultivation is the same. Whether you go the arahant way or the so-called bodhisattva way, the cultivation is the same. It's just the essential dhamma. These are truths which were there before the Buddha arrived. It's part of nature, because nature has its law, nature's law that governs life and existence. So when the Buddha Sasana is there, when the Sammasambuddha arrived, he can summarize to you all of the essential Dhamma and the teaching. It's just like now our civilization. Before the advancement of technology during the early days, you remember the aeroplane, the Wright brothers, 1900-something? The technology was not there. But how did they know that there can be a plane so heavy and yet can fly off like that? Actually, they also don't know. They tried. They started off with the glider, you remember? From a very high cliff, they tried. Then successful. Then they evolved. Then later on, somebody come out with a bright idea, must be mechanical engineer, later become aeronautical engineer. He said, why not I put an engine there so that we don't have to push and jump down from the cliff? Then later on, the mechanical engineer together with the civil engineer become more innovative. They know hydraulics, understand? They know Bernoulli's principle. Wow, they say they can create that type of Bernoulli's wave, so that the pressure underneath is low, up there is, the pressure underneath is high, up there is low pressure, so the nature's, what they call force pressure, will push it up. That's why you run, then through this wing, they create this Bernoulli's principle, then the lift, the uplift is very powerful, that's why the heavy payload. You know how heavy or not the aeroplane, how many tons. Then all your human load. We have flew on this 380 before. I think 500 to 600 of us out there. And yet with that payload, it take off like nothing. You just imagine. Those who do the meditation and can levitate, you think very great. The plane is more high-tech than you, and that payload also can take. And he can fly you all there without you feeling that you are in a plane, subject to all the turbulence. No, that's why that plane endure because of technology. So with the prototype, they can keep on improving on it. Understand? So what I'm driving at is, if the Buddha has not come out with this prototype, the Dhamma, the teaching, I tell you, it can be a long, long haul, like the Wright brothers when they started. Even the car technology also same. How can it evolve until now? Because of the prototype, that's the first one. When you have the first one, then to modify it and improve on it is very easy. So the Buddha Dhamma is the same. Before the Sasana, the teaching was not there. That's why it was the Dark Ages. They call it the Dhamma ending period. 末法世界. 末法时代. So when you have this during the Buddha's asana, it becomes so much easier. So when you cultivate, you just cultivate. Then you will realize the truth if you don't have sakayadity. What is sakayadity? Self-delusion. When you finally realize that this form of mind is not you, then only your mind can cease. Then only nibbana can be realized. That's why as long as you cling to the form of mind, thinking that there is a person who cultivate and finally become enlightened, that delusion will stop you from even becoming a sotapan. So forget about what people tell you, like method, technique, or this way, that way, you have to do like that. You cannot do like that. Then you take the vow, it will block you. Then they will tell you, even Achaman also reverse that. Also. To me, no meaning. When you don't understand, you talk. Just like the topic, letting go. Who let go? Those who still grasp and cling, try to let go. It's impossible. The moment you understand, you are not deceived and not deluded, you will not hold. When you don't hold, why is there a need to let go? That's why letting go is a myth. M-Y-T-H. Meat means what? Appear logical. Very logical. But not the truth. So when it comes to cultivation, the most important thing is the essential Dhamma. Go back to essential Dhamma, like I said just now. Then you cultivate with that faith, sincerity, and understanding, and perseverance. Finally, you will realize the awakening. Once you insight into the characteristics of nature, anicchang dukkang anatta, you are already not deluded by the form of mind, where you know their characteristics. So what happened is, you will straighten your view. You will not, like before, simply holding on to all those things. You know this form is not you. Condition arising, karmically conditional. You know feeling come and go, they are not you. You know perception come and go, they are aggregates of mind, dependent originating, not you. Sankara, your views, your opinion, your mental states, your mental activity, your mental formation, they are all not you. They are part of the aggregates of mind, dependent originating. Consciousness is the same, they arise and they pass away. Not you, impermanent. Yeah, these are byproduct of your true nature. So when you understand all this and see very clearly, then you realize the five aggregate of form and mind is like the Buddha said, impermanent, leading to suffering and not you. So when you're not deluded by it, then only your mind can transform. Then you have more and more right view, less and less delusion, less and less avijja. Then what happened to the first link? Avijja paccaya sankara weaken. Means what? You don't think so much already, like before. That's why you become more and more mindful, more and more heedful. You have less and less sankara. Then because of that wisdom, the mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful, very still. That's how you will know how to go back to the silent mind. Then later on you will realize, think also like that, don't think also like that. Whatever you arise is sankhara. And what is sankhara? The Buddha already said, sankhara anicham. Sankhara lead to dukkha. If you give meaning, attach and cling, you will get into trouble. So why do you want to think? So when you understand that, then the mind just silent, quiet. Then when the condition is fulfilled, it will go into cessation. Then you will realize Nibbana. Then you will go through the various stages of sainthood. Then when you go through life, you will develop more and more wisdom, because daily mindfulness will show it to you, the real understanding. Because if you don't interact, your views and opinion is still conditioned. It can never, never liberate. You will still be afflicted. There will still be suffering in life. So that's why after that cessation, when the form and mind come out, it is totally different. It understands very clearly. You know, it realizes that that true nature is not what people think. There is no word. There is no thought. There is no mind. That's why it's the unconditioned. Unconditioned means what? Nothing inside there. But you cannot say it's nothing, because that Nibbana, that realization, really happened. The cessation really happened. But it is the mind that realizes itself and sees. Then the form and mind that is connected to this process or this experience or this transformation, when it comes out of it, it will understand. Yeah? It has a glimpse of this so-called Nibbana, even the one moment to be a sainthood. If you have developed the arahantship and beyond, the cessation will last quite a while. Then you will understand clearly that he know you, he know me. That thing is just a unconditioned oneness state that you cannot talk about. That's why the Buddha said it's beyond word, beyond thought, beyond time. Then when you realize this, you are not deluded anymore, whereas all the rest are conditioned arising, dependent originating. Then you will come to understand all this. Then during that time, if that form and mind doesn't have any condition for the bodhisattva way, or it doesn't have the condition to meet somebody who understand and tell them about the cultivation, then they just end and cease. Understand? So there is no such thing as I want to do arahant or bodhisattva way that I have to make that decision. No. That is from the thought. The thought will always say that. But then you can ask, then why brother Teo teach? Like the Buddha say, I can only share with you my experience, understand? What is possible, I tell you. But the choice is, your nature need to decide. But most people use the thought, understand? You use the thought means, you got right and wrong. You got a lot of problem because you hear other people say different things. Then you say, who should I listen to? Who should I follow? Forget about all these things. Because these are not the essential Dhamma. That's why I say you just do. When you come to that point, the form and mind will understand. When there is condition to continue, you will continue. That's why you will make that vow, that aspiration, it will take you, it will remind you during that time, it will come out. But if you don't want to do anything, it's still your choice. Where you scared it block you, that is the thought telling you. Then you can continue to believe your thought. For me, I have gone through, my nature has gone through, that's how I know. That's how you can come back. You know what this thing is. So it's up to you. When I say you, it's the form of mind now. It's not your true nature. Your true nature don't have all these problems. It's the form and mind at this moment thinking, trying to make right and wrong out of things. That's why I say when you cultivate, don't try to know. Just do. Be sincere. Have faith. Just cultivate. Then when the time comes, all this will arise. But because there are conditions. That's why my nature developed all this through the past. That's why you understand. You know how to avoid. You avoid all the energy field. That's why this line, the form and mind come, it will never touch energy field. It can never touch. because it knows if you go into that way, it's psychic field. Whatever you get come with a lot of repercussion. It's just like people who say, Ren zai jiang hu, you know the meaning, yan zai gong wu. You are subject to all the challenges of jiang hu. When they know you are very good in your swordsmanship, you are very famous, how? People will come and challenge you. Understand? Jin shi, in Mandarin what you call jin. When they want to challenge you, what? Jian what? Tiao zhan, but there's a letter they write to you. Zhan su, xia zhan su. So you receive a lot of this because you go into the psychic field and people know where you become famous. Understand? But this one, wisdom way, sati, no kung fu one. People come also not interested one. Like that one, just relax, silent, sleep. They are not interested. Because, just wisdom. Only one segment. You no suffering only. I want magic one. I want can do this, can do that one. I can protect myself. I can defend myself. I can do a lot. That one I don't teach. That's why they are not interested in me. My nature, they are not interested in coming after me because no meaning. It's just like Ren zai jiang hu, so many fighters there you don't want to fight. You go and fight one, don't have kung fu one. You think that will make you famous? They don't want to come after you. That's why when you understand, you avoid the energy field. You avoid all the kung fu. You don't have to get yourself involved. But what is the Buddhist teaching? What is the Buddha's essential Dhamma? It's about wisdom. Sila, samadhi, leading to panya. What free you? Panya. Not all the fantastic meditation. Because the Buddha said, no matter how powerful you are, how superhero you are, finally, you have to confront the first noble truth reality. And what are they? Birth, old age, sickness and death. Separation. So when you confront all this with all the kung fu, with all the money and the reputation, does it help you? Maybe help you a bit, get the best doctor. Then with all the psychic energy, maybe prolong you for a while. But as you age, all this is not going to help you. It can only help you when you have wisdom. When you reflect and contemplate the five daily contemplation and develop the insight into phenomenal to liberate the mind. Then the mind is above all this. The mind is not afflicted because it's not deluded. It does not hold, it does not corrupt. Then it will go through the cessation. Then everything just ceases. That's why the Buddha says, mind is a foreigner of all things. Everything is just dependent originating. He know you, he know me. The five aggregate of forming mind are empty. Like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva say, wu yun jie kong. No reality. He know you, he know me. The Diamond Sutta say, no mark of a self cultivating. No mark of living being. No mark of any Dhamma existing. It is the unconditioned. That's why when you understand true emptiness, chen kong, miao yu, then all this is to be. Then you realize the true Dhamma is about wisdom, liberating your mind, freeing you from all attachment, clinging and grasping. When I say you is the five aggregate of form and mind, this segmented life, understand? That's why you can say this five aggregate of form and mind, this segmented life is enlightened. But this guy is not you, understand? This is the form and mind of this segment of existence, of your nature. It's not you. But this one, this life is enlightened, yes. But it's not you. Because it's connected to that nature that realizes the cessation. It understands the universal characteristic and the phenomenal world clearly. That's why it's not deceived by it, not deluded by it. And this one is above suffering, yes. But it's not you. That's why you don't say, this one choose to end an arahantship. This one choose to go the bodhisattva way. No. It's the entire nature's evolution. that nature can develop the perfection through understanding all these nature's law, you need a karmic nature to condition a form and mind. And this segment of form and mind will connect to your nature when you develop the cultivation. Before you develop the cultivation, you are no different from any living being, except you have great special karmic inheritance. That's why the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So this understanding is very important. Take care of karma. Karma take care of your life. To take care of karma, you must have spiritual faculty, especially sati. Then you can be mindful and heedful of your action, speech and thought process, the mental intention behind. Then only you can put the advice of the Buddha into practice of cultivation. Then only you can develop the essential Dhamma understanding, then liberate your mind. Then meditation becomes very easy, very straightforward, very simple. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good question, some more. Maybe end at 3, another 15 to 17 minutes. Any other question? I take a drink.
Please
forgot the host must say something. Rather cool and Indian, come. Wow, this one, the wife invite rather cool.
Thank you, everybody. You are all welcome to our this house dana. We are welcome, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all the Kaya Mita members. All of you are most welcome. Thank you for your presence and the Dharma sharing conducted by Brother Teo. Thank you very much. It's what I'm
thank you, Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo, and all brothers and sisters in the Dharma, for coming to my house, our house, for house dana. And I would like to share, because my husband, Mr. Ku, he never attend Dharma sharing before. Then when I attend Brother Teo classes, then Susan actually invited my husband to come for the sharing. And from there, every Thursday he don't miss.
Yeah.
So far, no. Yes,
sir.
Oh, yeah, that's the story. Because the Sumeru retreat, I drove my husband's car and accidentally locked the door. So Susan actually took Mr. Ku to this from there, went to Brother Susan's house. From there, he attended the classes.
Oh, okay.
So he have actually learned a lot.
Yeah. Thank
you very much for all the support.
Also, his good karma. Otherwise, without affinity, it cannot happen.
Yeah.
Also, your good intention to help and super good. So that's why all this all is good. Then the permission can
And my family actually, we are more happier.
Yeah.
I would like to share. Yeah, because.
And you will come to realize your whole life together. together with your family members, it will become very different. A lot of harmony, a lot of like, you're very lucky that everything goes away. Yeah. There's so much joy, less of those last time argument, conflict, misunderstanding.
Yeah.
In fact, almost all Kayamitas have do that. Except there are some who improve until they forgot about it. Before that was how. But if you have mindfulness, if you're observant, all this you will experience. That's why the Dhamma can transform your life and bring about a lot of improvement.
That's why
you want to improve your life. The Dhamma, we have to follow nature's law. It's not a secret teaching.
While we are in Perth or Melbourne, I receive a WhatsApp from my son. And he said, I miss you. So I'm very grateful to Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo and all brothers and sisters in the Dharma for all the support. Thank you very much.
You forgot the part that Danny asked.
Oh,
not much of experience, but actually before... Yes, I was having 200, my, not fever, the pressure went up 200 on Sunday. And I would just keep on, whether I can make it. I was about to call Miss Brother Teo that maybe I might not make it. And I went and see the doctor. I asked my husband to take me there. And I just seek for forgiveness. And I was on MC 2 days. And I went and see the physician, and they managed to bring down the pressure. And in Perth also the same thing, like the pressure going to go up. And I keep on seeking forgiveness. Share with Brother Teo. Yeah. This is my experience that I managed to go through all the trip, and it was so beautiful, very beautiful.
Yeah. The inner peace, the tranquility, the faith. Actually, it will settle you down.
Yeah, and all the brothers and sisters were so helpful because I didn't bring extra clothing.
Yes,
my friend. This is my experience. Oh, yes. Where was it? Oh, yeah, when I enter, when I entered to the Sima Hall, when I saw the Buddha image, I was just... thank you. But I really, really like to thank Brother Teo because with all this sharing, the Dharma sharing, even though I don't really, I still need to put more effort. But thank you so much, Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo and brothers and sisters in the Dharma. I will learn a lot, all the Dharma, because those days I don't really understand the Dharma. Thank you so much. Thank you.
It's okay. It's just for a short one. I want to thank this beautiful couple, Lynn and Brother Ku. They are so good and so beautiful. Every Thursday, whenever they come, Lynn is always the one among a few others that just quietly at the sink there, washing, wiping the table, and she helped me to clean up everything that by the time you all left, you know, the place is cleaned up. And the husband is just quietly, patiently waiting. I really gan'en that every Thursday. And I really want to thank both of you. Sadhu. And from, it's just observe from their action. They're really practicing the Dharma.
Ha 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 ha
Also the great hospitality of Ping and Xia, Sadhu. Yeah, amazing. They were great hosts. They actually did so much thing for us. And they even donated and contributed many things. The first day, they purposely together with Sam came with a car to receive us. And they pre-booked the car. Then one day earlier, they took the car from the hiring company to their home. Then next morning, they even invite Sam to stay with them one night. So Sam actually booked himself and the wife into this hotel, I think. I forgot, Pan Pacific or what, I forgot. Then he booked for two nights. Then when Xia, Brother Xia, maybe I say Chi Wei better after you confuse with your clan. Chi Wei said, since Sam is coming down, if he don't mind, help them to drive one car because his eyesight is not good at night. So Sam willingly agreed. Then in reciprocate, he said he would like to invite Sam and the wife back to their home to stay the night so the next morning, early morning, they can drive together. Sam said, I booked for two nights already. I checked the hotel, see whether they allow me to cancel. Oh, the hotel said cannot. So cancel one night. So I stayed there. And they were very great hosts. The first morning when they arrived and fetched us, they took us to a nice breakfast. Then Chi Wei told me, Brother Tio, you don't mind. I would like to sponsor your breakfast. Oh, I said, Sadhu, not only mine, the whole Kajaramita. So that was so beautiful. Then after that, Peng cooked. We went to their resort home in Lanslin. Very beautiful resort place near the coast. They bought the bungalow with 16 acres of land. The bungalow got four big rooms, so, and single story, but very big. You know how much? You know, 14 years ago, 250,000 Aussie. 16 acres of farmland with one beautiful bungalow, very big. Oh, and furniture. So, they were great hosts. They were very sincere, very generous. And a lot of things they wanted to offer. The dinner, the lunch, and things they all prepared a lot. Then later on, the house dana, when we went back to Perth, was the same. Then in between, Chi Wei was bringing us to many Wei places, which were very beautiful. Dharmasala is one of them, where the nunnery is. They want to spend a lot of time building it, and Ajahn Brahm helped to bring for a lot of donation. At that place, Brother Chi Wei also spent 2.5 years full-time helping to build that place. And do you all know that Chi Wei was a very, very brilliant student during his time? I only came to know that he was a mechanical engineer from MU, second batch, you know, my senior, my super senior, our super senior, second batch, you know, I tell you that time, to even pass standard 6 or form 3 also very rare. He go to the university and did engineering. You know. I tell you, he must be the cream of the country. And he was so humble. That's why with his understanding of mechanical engineering, he helped out in many things. Then later on, Jana Grove also, they help out a lot. Ajahn Brahm's place, the new retreat center. Then we also went to you all went for the Vesak. What temple was it? Dhammaloka, Vesak. That one I didn't go. Well, I have appointment with my classmate and brother-in-law. So I was not with them, but they went through the Vesak, everything. Then that night, the Dhamma sharing the Dana, house Dana, at his house in Perth city was really beautiful, attended by about 40 plus people. And the recording, you should thank Suyan, he sent back. And it was so beautiful because they were conditioned. Then we also met out with Bhikkhu Hai's sister. Two sisters, one is in the nunnery, the other one came and attended my talk, and she was full of faith. She was full of joy, keep on nodding. Then I met her again at Ajahn Brahm's place. There was so much joy. Then I met Fong Se. The whole trip was so beautiful. Not only the temple visit, the food, especially the food when we were in Melbourne also. They took us to so many of these nice places because Nico, which was Sito and Michael's daughter, stayed there many years. Then I think her boyfriend owns a the boyfriend's family owns a restaurant, I think. So future, what they call in-laws. So they were so kind and so generous. I didn't know that Susan too was a future mother-in-law. Until later on when we were at the restaurant, only they told me, hey, she's the owner now with the husband. Oh, now I know. They cook us such nice dinner, you know, that night, like 10-course dinner, I tell you. If I describe to you, you also slide it. You ask them and see. He got this Singaporean cook, was so beautiful, the dish. I tell you, you won't believe all the 10 dishes I like on. 12, no, not 10. Fantastic, start with Ling Hao Tong. Then the crab, Sin Tim. Sin Tim what? No, there's a, what? Kung Po, what? Kung Po crab, not Kung Po, Sin Tim, sweet and sour crab. Oh, I tell you, fantastic, that crab. That crab was the what you call that? Nye. Claw, that one you call claw. I thought nye. That clam. You know I like that. No? It took one big piece of it. You know, and it was so big. No? Then the sauce was so good. Then after that, they got a lot. No? Even vegetable curry. Chop choy curry. The curry was so fantastic. Huh? Then the kalikai also very fantastic. Then they got a lot of other very good dishes. The best was the kamamari. Calamari. You all call calamari. I used to joke, I say kamamari. You got kamamari. Wow, the way they fried it was so nice, the sotong. The calamari. So I joke, I say, kamamari. Calamari. Then you also have very nice pancake, I think, later on. Bubu cha cha, the last one. Then in between, there were many other dishes. The chicken, I think, the fried chicken was good. Oh, the duck or chicken, I forgot already. Duck. Then there were many other things, That's why when you have good blessing, that night I told them, this one you must listen. When you got good karma, good merits and good blessing, that's why as part of Kayanamitas, you will become beautiful. You are so blessed because of your merits, blessings and virtue. You always have good food. They always tell me last time, there was one Chan Pui Hong, you know him, right? The ex-president of Vipassana Society. He used to join my Dhamma group. He said, brother, I like your monthly dana. He said, he has been to all the famous restaurants. He never eats such good food. He said, everybody bring their best. And he get to sample all of them in one go during the house dana. And he say, you want good food, you join Brother Teo. That's why you are blessed because you deserve it. You have the blessing, you have the merits, and you have the affinity and the condition. That's why when goodness flow in you, it will come back to you. When you have goodness, wholesomeness, when you rejoice, when you keep your precept, when you listen to Dhamma, straighten your view, when you pay respect, triple jam, when you rejoice, share merit, transfer merits, provide service, be sincere, walk the path of Dhamma, and have goodness and kindness. All these are your merits and virtue. Through the law of karma, it will come back to you. You reap what you sow. That's why you will be very blessed. So, mankind say, no need to paise one. Well, this is your blessing. You deserve it. But don't grieve over it. Don't attach to it. Have condition to eat, but don't overeat. I think those feel nice. Many of us overeat because the food was so good. They keep on saying, okay, enough. Then the good food comes. Okay, try a little bit. Bit by bit, it adds up. But you have to know your body. You don't eat until it burdens you and cause you suffering. So, Dhamma is to be developed through daily life. Daily life, you can learn a lot of things. Then you can see how your craving, your desire manifests. Then when you have understanding how you rejoice, how you accord and flow, how you actually have gratitude towards your own good karma, the blessing and the wholesome condition that arise, you will feel it. Then you will have a lot of gratitude towards your own karmic nature, your own good nature. Then you vow to continue to go this way. Yeah, this way is Dhamma way, so beautiful, never go wrong. If you want to avoid all suffering, you must keep your precept. You must develop wholesomeness so that the condition for negativity of karma to arise will be less and less, until after a long time of cultivation, which my nature went through, I know. That's why this life I come. Like, this nature is very blessed, you know? You have no problem, you know. Never have I really have any situation where it demands a problem that I need to attend to and severely look at it. No. Everything like meant to be. It just unfold, keep on unfolding. And when I look back, I tell myself, how can it be like that? Unless this nature has this understanding to actually arise the causes and condition for it to happen this way. That's why when you take care of karma, karma take care of you. When you have this understanding, you keep on cultivating, you will have less and less of this negativity. Then remember, this night I come back, I only pay back when I was very young. And all these are very minor things. When I was very young, I used to have this well barefooted, sometimes pricked by nails, sometimes cut by glasses, then sometimes a little bit of small injury here and there. The only one that I need to pay back a little bit is that coconut leaf, the green one that fell from the tree. Very funny, you know, I was sitting on a bench with three persons, I was in the middle. And that one hit my shoulder at the back when I was 8 years old. I flew about 30 feet. Then I saw the leaf, a green one. Not the dry coconut tree leaf, a green one. Later on only I know it was coming. I have to pay. And blood has to flow. And there was a big hole here. My shoulder here. I got a scar. But very funny, you know. Not much pain. Little or no pain. And the blood just shoot out, ooze out. Then luckily they took me back to my house. My father, Chinese medicine, so he just said, no problem, take the cotton wool. Then the ang yo chui, you know, then wrap it up. Then I heal. And that was the only slightly major, but I didn't feel anything. Well, I was a kid that time. And when I recover, I'm back to normal, except the scar is still there. But now I cannot see, I think no more there. Last time the scar, you can still see. Then after that, I remember after standard 6, I got no more problem. And everything was like smooth sailing. That's why you take care of karma, karma take care of you. Then everything that come, like meant to be, everything just fall into place. Then like I say, when the student is ready, the teacher come, the guide come, the book come, everything come. Then later on, when affinity arrives, kayamita also comes. See, that's how we have affinity. Okay, so with this, I think we should end. 3:05 already. father, father. So I will do the sharing of merits together. Huh? Those who know the chant, we chant together in Pali. Huh? Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakantu loka sasana ita ata ca amehi sabbadana sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya Itang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Itang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Itang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, calling Bodhisattva and all the worthy one. Eh? Then we end. Buddhang pujimi. Dhammang pujemi, Sanghang pujemi. Okay, thank you. Thank you all. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
But to Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo, if you have done anything wrong intentionally or unintentionally in the distant past until now, we would like to seek forgiveness.
Okay, don't worry, as long as you have goodness, yeah, you are sincere. This forgiveness, the moment you ask, is already naturally neutralized because it has constantly forgive whomsoever from the distant past, yeah, until whatever moment, yeah, whether knowingly or unknowingly. Yeah, your nature have constant any coming negativity against this nature. May their ignorant or delusion be forgiven. So this nature has constantly already sent out its what they call consent to forgive all these beings, because it's our own delusion that these beings do, but we never knew what they were. So it's a good practice to ask for forgiveness. Then for this to neutralize, it will actually help prevent those very powerful karmic obstruction from arising in the future. But for most of you who have the affinity to be with my nature, chances you don't have, or it has already been neutralized. Otherwise you cannot come near, you cannot even have the condition to be sitting here to listen to all this. So don't worry about what the thought tell you. I understand a lot of you are very concerned. Are you all like Brother Teo say, I don't know in the distant past how foolish I am. As long as you have the condition and affinity to receive the Buddha Dhamma, means your severe karmic obstruction towards the Triple Gem are not there. Otherwise you cannot. Okay, so have faith. But it's good to ask for forgiveness, because you got nothing to lose. Then as you develop this cultivation to ask for forgiveness and repentance and vow not to repeat this, it will keep you on the path. But you must determine not to repeat all this. Otherwise, like parents,
please forgive me, sorry. After that, repeat again. The nature's law doesn't agree to all this type of forgiveness. But when you determine not to repeat all this, because this lie, you understand, is foolish. That's why you determine lie after lie when you come. You must have this understanding of the essential Dhamma. In this nature's law or karma, I have to keep this right view. I have to constantly remind myself. Then the Buddha's five daily contemplation, especially the last one, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned as a part of our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So determine to take care of karma. And then all the rest will come. That's why in the Bodhisattva, while I put this down, so that you all can invoke that faith, then that vow to have this understanding life after life, because you can see it through your own life now, that this is the Dhamma. If you have right view with regards to the law of karma, if you follow this law of karma and don't violate it, your life becomes beautiful. You can witness them, you can see them. So when you have this understanding and you know this is the right way and right path, you determine to have this understanding, then you will fall into place. Then life after life, because of your vow, when the time comes, the moment you heard about this karma or law of cause and effect, straight away the nature, the seed of Bodhi that you have planted and the vow, it will manifest. And you will understand. That's why just like my segmented life when I come, it straight away cannot do all these things. My mother asked me to hold the chicken to slaughter. Cannot, it fly off. I release it from my hand, and my mother scold me like anything. She said, useless guy, one chicken also cannot hold. I said, no, I cannot hold. I saw your knife coming. The heart just cannot. I cannot. I cannot even become an accomplice to all this. Not to say I don't want to hold the chicken for you. I love you, I would like to obey your instruction, but I cannot do it. Inside reacted. So a lot of this thing will come to you. Then I know I cannot violate the precept. My wife will know, we're during the early day. Every time I lie to her, I lose the mahjong or anything. And she showed it to me when I was young. 7 or 8 years old, I steal $2 from my mother's ang pao. I tell you, kena kao kao. Every year also I make money. But that year I lost everything on the first night, you know, before Chi, you know. Oh. So all they show it to me, and then every time I got mental intention which are not in accordance, the moment it arises, especially during cultivation time, you know, straight away it show it to you and the sign will come, hit back already. Yeah. Cannot. Even the thought itself is enough to cause you trouble. I share with Suyan just now, where he come and share with me something else. When I was in the university, I think second year, my motorbike skill very good. I can let go two hands. No need to hold the handle and drive the motorbike. So exy. But then, we were having a discussion, and I told some of my uni mates, I say, well, I'm very blessed. No, I'm very skillful. Until now, I never had an accident before. Well, the moment I say that, inside here tell me, they say gang. Wow, then I think really, say it. Then I was so careful, you know, over the next 2 days. And yet now on the second day in the Federal Highway, you cannot escape. I was holding on to the handle very carefully. You know. Means whatever mishap, I will still hold on to the handle. But at night I cannot see, you know. Federal Highway got one pothole, you know, very big one. The moment I hit on that pothole, pow, and my handle, which I hold on to very tightly, also slip off. Then my whole motorbike slide. That time, luckily, got Ngao Chai Fu jeans. So my leg was okay. But my hand, a little bit injured. Then my helmet protect me. Nothing happened. Luckily, at the back, no car. Then I came out of the thing. Then there were some passers-by look at me and saw that I'm okay. They say, okay. Then I get my motorbike back to position, then I can still drive back to college. Then only I went to, you know, the Bhakti Siswa, the going clinic, Dr. What? Indian lady doctor. You forgot the name already. I forgot it. I went there. Then they apply all those first aid for my hand. Then I recovered.
That's why I don't simply say think. Thought itself is karma. Species become worse. And I didn't say anything bad in it. The ego try to be axi. That's why you don't simply say thing. Sometimes nature's law is like that, who chair on? Because when you are a cultivator, you have to be even more careful. The slightest negativity, it will show it to you and hit back at you. That's why you will become very careful with all the things you do. That's why I came to know never worthwhile to violate all these precepts. That's why you must be very mindful, very heedful when you go on this path. But before you develop that cultivation, don't worry, you can do what you like. Your karma is just karma, it will not test you so fast. But as you refine your practice, as you become more and more deep into it, you have to be careful. It will show it to you. And my last teacher, he shared this with me. He said, if you want to make mistake during the early days. Don't make mistake at the later day. Because when you fall, it's pretty severe. Then I remember the snake and ladder game we play. There's a very long snake towards the end when you want to reach your goal. Oh, nature's law also like that one. Got a snake, very long one, take you down. So you don't play. So this is something, because of condition it arises. So good. Thank you so much. That's okay, we end. I got to go to the washroom, drink too much water.